You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
President Obama is confident that a majority of Americans reject the targeting of people for their religious beliefs, so says White House spokesman Josh Earnest in his daily briefing.
I think the president has expressed his concern about some of the grossly irresponsible and in some cases outright bigoted political rhetoric that we've heard over the last several weeks. And the president does not believe that that is consistent with American values.
After the terrorist attacks in Paris and a possible terrorist link to this week's deadly mass shooting in San Bernardino, Earnest was pressed about the possibility of a growing anti-Muslim backlash in the U.S. He said targeting Muslims does not make the U.S. safer. Donald Trump has a huge lead over his nearest opponent in a new poll. The CNN ORC poll out today shows 36% of registered Republicans and Republican-leading independents support Trump. His nearest competitor is Texas Senator Ted Cruz with 16%. Former neurosurgeon Ben Carson has 14% support in the new poll. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Another consumer recall for Chrysler. More on that from Tammy Rose.
More than 100,000 Dodge Darts are being recalled. The reason? Automaker Fiat Chrysler says oil could leak into a brake part that could damage the car's power braking feature. 7 accidents and 2 injuries have been blamed on the defect. The recall affects 2013 and 2014 Darts with 2-liter and 2.4-liter engines. I'm Tammy Rose.
Chipotle says the number of people affected by the E. coli outbreak could rise. More than a month after the initial outbreak was reported in the Pacific Northwest, states are still reporting cases, and the outbreak has now expanded to California, Illinois, Maryland, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. The CDC says at least 45 people fell ill to the outbreak. Chipotle says it has hired a health and consulting group to determine new food safety practices. A Sonoma County, California winery is once again the best restaurant in America. OpenTable.com is naming Santa Rosa's St. Francis Winery and Vineyards the nation's number one restaurant for the second year in a row. Though it's not a traditional restaurant, OpenTable reviewers say St. Francis's dining experience is positively magical for its local food and expert wine pairing. Coldplay is going to headline the 2016 Super Bowl halftime show. The British rock band has signed on to perform at Super Bowl 50 in Santa Clara, California on February 7th. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good afternoon. It's going to be the sports guys, but let me tell you a little bit about the weather, first of all. And everybody needs to get out this weekend. Ken and I are here. We're going to hold the fort today. John and Bill are on their way to the Devils game. But I'm telling you, this weekend, this is a time we may be towards the end of having this great weather. Certainly, if you are celebrating Hanukkah, you're going to start this weekend. And everybody who still has Christmas lights to put up, it's the day to do it. Or I should say the 2 days. Saturday is going to be sunny, high of about 52 degrees. And Sunday, up to about a high of 54 degrees. So it's really going to be a great weekend. Can get out there and play some touch football, Ken, and you know, rake leaves if we still have leaves around, and most of us probably do. So Ken and I are here, and we're going to talk about sports. And of course, anybody who knows me knows I'm a Packer fan, And I'm telling you, if you didn't see the end of that game last night, you will see the last play and probably the last two plays for the next 10 years.
I would say, Pat, hello out there, everybody. Ken Milstra here. I would say at least the next 10 years. This is going to go down as, you know, this is the incredible thing is when I saw Rodgers throw the ball as he was bringing his arm back, I literally heard him say Hail Mary as he threw the ball, Pat. It was unbelievable. You have to be turn the volume way up and listen very closely. You can actually hear him say Hail Mary as he throws the ball. And it was the without a doubt, that's the best Hail Mary pass ever. And it's incredible because that's the second game in 3 weeks that ended. And what do they call that? No time? It's not even overtime. There's no time on the clock.
So they can't account for it. On that clock. And, of course, for anyone who hasn't seen it, the play before that, they tried some flea, what do they call it? Do they call them flea flickers around?
Yeah.
They were throwing around.
Right, right, exactly.
Roger had the ball, but there was no one to throw to. He was going to be sacked. It was the end of the game. The clock was down to zero. And instead, the reason they were resurrected is it was a face mask, and it was. If you looked at Rodgers right then, I mean, they jerked his head around. His helmet was twisted. It was that bad.
Oh, it was a legitimate penalty, no doubt.
There was no question it was.
What were the Lions thinking? If you're the coach, look, just don't commit a penalty and game's over.
Right.
It's over. Just don't commit a penalty.
Absolutely.
And they
was.
Commit a face mask?
And
that's the easiest call.
You know, was it intentional? Obviously not. But he didn't, you know, he didn't have to do anything. All he had to do was block Rodgers from throwing a pass. The game was over. And in fact, it was 0-0 on the clock.
Yeah.
And because of the face mask, and then, I mean, the Rodgers to Rodgers throw was incredible.
Right.
I mean, and Rodgers, not Aaron Rodgers, but Rodgers, and I can't remember his first name.
I can't either.
Who caught
I should
it.
Know this.
In any event, I mean, he went up. If you looked at everyone, it was surprising to me that there wasn't a Lion who ran in front of him.
Right.
Because they were all in the end zone. I think the only thing I can think of is that the Lions thought it was going to go deeper in the end zone. And so it was like the Lions were all behind the Packers.
Right.
My concern when I saw everybody down there is they were going to knock it out of each other's hands.
The Lions looked totally unprepared for that play. Totally. I mean, every time there's a Hail Mary, one of the reasons you call a Hail Mary is usually a really long pass like this one was. And in every situation, the defense has more players in the area than the offense does. It's a numbers
right.
game. I mean, there's a quarterback, right, and five linemen. Those are the rules. You have to have six people. So the maximum you can have is five receivers. The defensive team typically rushes three and drops back eight. So think about it. You have eight defenders and five offensive players. You throw the ball up for grabs. What do? You're the defensive coordinator. Guys, just knock the ball down. That's it. Don't catch it. Don't interfere with it. Don't do it. Just knock the ball. Now, my question to you, Pat, why wasn't, what's his name, Calvin Johnson?
Well,
6'5". Why wasn't he in the game?
I think that was probably one of the first things that the announcer said. Where was Calvin Johnson?
I mean, he's tall. He's athletic. He's a receiver. He's used to you know, catching long passes. Look, Calvin, you're a free safety. You drop back. And when Rodgers throws the ball, you just go into the area. You're 6'5". Just knock it down. And we'll go have a drink after the game.
Yeah,
and he's on the sidelines standing there watching all this happen.
And I think that they just were, it was so incredible. As I recall, and who knows, I mean, we were all so excited, nobody went to sleep for hours. But the play got off pretty quickly. In other words, you know, there wasn't a lot of time. I don't know. They just didn't, they had to realize that it was going to be a Hail Mary. And by the way, maybe you should talk to people and say what the Hail Mary is. Because most people, they just don't understand what they mean by when they talk about a Hail Mary pass.
Well, hopefully people listening in know that the Hail Mary, I mean, what do you say? It's in a time of need. You ask for help from Mary, right? I mean, it's basically a desperation
toss. An absolutely desperation.
And you kind of throw the ball and Hail Mary and hopefully the guy on your team catches the ball, and right. And it's a very low percentage play, very low percentage.
I mean, how many was this a 69-yard throw?
I don't remember. I think it was 61.
Exactly. 61. I mean, it was over 60. And if you watched it, it looked like it was 80 feet high. I mean,
yeah,
there was
some throw. It was unbelievable.
It was an unbelievable throw. You know, the only thing that then, of course, I was not able to sleep, and what I watched afterwards was something about Brett Favre, and the only thing that it reminded me of is the game that Brett played, Oakland, after his dad died, and he probably threw three of those.
Mm.
I mean, it wasn't Hail Mary at the end of the game, but
right.
I mean, that type of gunslinging pass. I mean, Rodgers actually looked like Brett Favre when he made that pass. I mean, not that Rodgers can't throw that far, because he can, but, and then and the Packers, I mean, they were really going to be out of it.
Yeah.
If
you
they
must have been
lost
dying,
this game.
Pat. You're sitting there going, "Well, oh my God, we've lost to the Lions again?"
And
again,
course,
after losing to the Bears the previous week?
And
must have been beside yourself.
And losing to the Lions earlier.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been two division teams. And, of course, you know, I can't feel too sorry for the Lions, because I go back to the Barry Sanders days when they played the Packers on Thanksgiving every year and the Packers would lose. But
To your point,
you had
Pat,
to feel sorry.
Gee whiz, how long was that ball in the air?
Oh, long.
He threw it about 70 yards, give or take, 65,
yeah.
70. And the ball was, it wasn't a bullet.
No. This was a
mortar shell that he lobbed in. You would have thought everybody on the defensive side would have had time to run over. Oh, here comes the ball. I'm going to go over and knock it down now. Nobody did.
Well,
you know what? They're not coached properly. I'm not a football coach, but I know enough to, okay, guys, just knock the ball down and let's go celebrate.
Well, I was sure that at least they would try to run in front of Rodgers, you know, or try to run in front of, and just nothing else, you know, distract him or do something.
Yeah.
And he was interviewed afterwards. He was really very modest. I mean,
Pat,
it was
good for you. They didn't do anything. They watched it happen. Yeah, I saw the interview, and I think maybe you saw the same one. He said, "I wasn't the primary receiver. I was supposed to be the guy blocking out, and I looked up, and the ball was coming to me, so I grabbed it." Beautiful thing.
It really was.
The only thing I can compare it to, really, is Doug Flutie. I mean, that's the original Hail Mary, I believe.
I think you're right. I was trying to remember the game that the first one was
right.
in.
Right, and that's the one I recall. Maybe it was the term was coined before that, but that's the one that everyone goes back to.
It might have been coined in a college game. I don't really remember. But, of course, that is, the Hail Mary pass is the impossible, we might as well throw it because it doesn't make any difference
right.
if it's going to be intercepted.
Yeah, what the heck?
Game's going to be over. So whether it's not caught, whether it's intercepted, it's one last try.
Right. And if they tried that play 10 times, Pat, probably 9 times it would be incomplete, dropped, intercepted. Something would go wrong.
Right.
But what the heck? You got the one,
and
you're
got
happy.
The win. Well, you know, it also reminded me, not the play, but pulling it out at the last possible second reminded me a lot of the games when Lombardi coached the Packers. If you go back and look at many of those games, they were kind of pulled out at the end. I mean, they just, what was it? What was the Bart Starr? Ice Bowl. I'm almost positive it was the Ice Bowl. And, Bart Starr went over to talk to Lombardi, and, whatever they were talking about, Lombardi said, just do it and let's get the hell out
right.
of here.
I mean, yes.
And I think that was that a quarterback sneak? As I recall,
yes,
that
sure
was a quarterback sneak, and that was not the play that they were going to initially do, and Bart Starr said, can we do this? And it was just, it was done.
5 seconds, 10 and, seconds left. It was fourth down, and there was same kind of thing, but that was from 2 feet away versus
right. oh,
61
it was.
Yards
Absolutely.
Away.
Absolutely. But my point was only that there were a number of games back in that Lombardi era that were won at the last minute.
Never say die.
Never. And that's what was really important. And I think that's one of the things that's Roger's strength, is it is never say die. And
it's crazy.
But if you saw the game, and I know you didn't, I did. I mean, Rodgers carried that whole offense on his back. I mean, the whole line is out. The whole first-string line, they're not there.
It's crazy, Pat. For some reason, and you're probably hearing this too, Rodgers is actually getting criticism this season for not having a good year. Well, they can't run the ball, A.
Oh, right.
And B, their primary receiver's out for the season, so they don't have the catching, you know, the pass-catching crew that they normally would. If you can't run the ball, which they can't, and your receivers aren't up to par where they should be, it's going to be very difficult to have successful offense. And, of course, all the blame falls on who? Falls on the quarterback.
But, you know, Adams has been, in my view, a real disappointment. You know, he's dropped so many balls. They had a new guy that came in yesterday off the practice squad. I'm sure he was on the practice squad. I know he wasn't on the team, by the name of Costello. And he had some good running yardage. But I don't know what's happened to Lacy. I mean, it's just like, it's unbelievable.
How old was Lacy? Is he getting up there in years, maybe?
No. Because he's not.
I expected him to be one of the better backs. Is he just not getting the blocking? I don't watch enough Packer games to know.
Well, he had a good game. The last game, he had a good game. But he's, you know, people have said, you know, is he hurt? Is he just overweight? Is he... He's just not had the kind of game. And when he first came in, I mean, I always forget how many years, but he can't have been there more than 3 or 4
years.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. But, you know, the running backs, the time span, you know, the lifespan of a running back is so short because it's such a fine line between being able to make the cuts and the quickness and the agility. You just lose a little bit of that, and all of a sudden the holes don't open. And you get tackled in situations, you know, you don't break tackles and that kind of stuff. Maybe that's what's happened to him. I don't see enough of the games to know.
Well, there's not enough. But actually, if you looked yesterday at Detroit, they had, and I don't remember the name of the running back, but he was going through, you know, not that he was going over people, but he was finding some real creases. And I think that's the point. I mean, Lacy was very good at finding whatever crease was open. Now, the interesting thing is that they did get a few sacks on the Detroit Lions quarterback. And at a couple times, he was really, you could see how irritated he was at his other team members. And that's another thing you just don't do.
Right, I mean, right.
You know,
it's not what a leader does.
No, absolutely not. But I've been able to see how frustrated Rodgers is. And he's not been as accurate either, but I think that's because... Like Favre, he's been trying to force a lot of...
Right.
You know, he's been trying to force it when it's not there.
He's been under pressure more than before. He doesn't have the, you know, the platform of the good running game. And you know what? In the NFL, I don't care how many passes you throw, how good your passing game is, you have to be able to run when you need to run. And if you can't do it, you become one-dimensional. And if in the NFL, if you only have one dimension, right, it can be stopped. I don't care how good you are.
Well, and the other thing you probably wouldn't know about the game if you hadn't watched it is Crosby missed a field goal in probably the first quarter.
Why did he do that?
He missed it.
Oh, supposed to make those.
So, and he usually is very good. So the point is the Packers would have lost by that field goal. You know, that's a lot of the time they were behind only by 3 points, although... At the end of the game, it was, I think, 27-23.
Yeah.
So, you know, he wouldn't have been able, even then, that field goal would have.
Pat, you never know. Another 3 more points on the board changes the tenor of the game. Maybe Green Bay does something because they're further behind that they wouldn't have normally done. You never know.
No.
Momentum is a funny thing.
It you know, you're really right. But I have to say that especially the first quarter, I mean, the Lions looked good. I mean, they had 17 points on the board.
Pat, that's a nice win. It was only 10 days ago or 8 days ago we were watching the Lions demolish the Eagles.
Right.
And they looked like, you know,
a
great team that day. Granted, the Eagles were terrible, but still, scoring 45 points in an NFL game means a lot. You're doing something right.
Well, and wasn't that right after everybody in the world got fired from the Lions?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently that fired the team up. Maybe they were happy that some of those people are gone. I don't know. I don't follow the Lions at all for obvious reasons.
But it's, what is it, the 13th week? I mean, it's hard to believe that we've only got, what, 3 more weeks of regular season?
Coming down the stretch, yes. That's what makes this week so important.
And, of course, the other game, I don't know if you watched it, but I was more than happy to see New England lose. I really thought they were going to pull it out. In fact, I remember sending John Manfreda, one of our sports guys, a text message at that point because they went into overtime, and I thought for sure that somehow he'd pull it out.
He
didn't.
I watched most of that game. You know, I get up so early, I couldn't watch the whole thing. I enjoyed it for a couple of reasons. Number one, I love games in the snow because you always see crazy plays, people slipping, sliding, fumbling, bumbling, you know, whatever. So I love a game in the snow, and that was the first one this year in the snow, at least that I've seen. The second, you know, I'm a closet New England fan, right? You're aware of that.
I can't believe
I am a closet New England. You know what?
Oh, my.
Say what you want about the Patriots. They have the will to win.
They do. There's no
question. They have unquestionably the will to win. I was disappointed.
And will do anything to win.
They will do anything inside the rules, outside the rules, right. Bending the rules, whatever. And for that, I respect them. So yes, it's true, folks. I root for the Patriots. When they're not playing the Giants, I root for the Patriots.
You know, I have to say, you wouldn't have dared to say that if Bill and John were here,
yes, because would.
You wouldn't get out of the studio.
I'm bigger than them. But I was disappointed. You know, when I went to sleep, New England was still ahead. And they were ahead 21-7 in the fourth quarter, so I think the snow maybe did catch up with New England and some funny bounces took place.
Well, all I can say is that I was sure at the end of the regulation time that, you know, Brady would come back and win. Now, Thanksgiving, my house at Thanksgiving, we had to slide in dinner between the Cowboy game and the Packer game.
Well, that was a great Thanksgiving, wasn't it? Eagles lose by 4 touchdowns. Cowboys lose by 3 touchdowns. It was a beautiful thing.
I mean, well, honestly, because I was cooking, I heard the games, and I heard, because remember, we have Eagles fans in my family and Cowboy fans.
Yes.
So I heard some choice words.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
And then we had to slide in dinner between the two games. And, you know, I think the Cowboy fans are really disappointed that now that Romo's back, they couldn't win that game.
Well, Carolina outclassed them, and most of the time Romo was in the game. They would have won the game no matter who was quarterback, I think.
That was a tough game. I mean, aren't they the only team that's undefeated?
Still going, yeah.
Yeah, and which, you know.
And the Golden State Warriors, for the few basketball fans out there. There's one or two listening. They're 20-0, I believe.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that.
But Carolina is going to be a tough adversary.
We'll see. I'm not 100% sold on them yet. I'd have to see them in a tense playoff situation. But the good news for them is they should be able to get the home field.
Right.
And home field is huge, as we know, in the playoffs. So.
Now, of course, we're really hoping that that Minnesota will lose. And if I recall, Minnesota's playing next Thursday night. But I think they play the Arizona Cardinals this weekend, don't they?
I believe, yes.
Either they play the Cardinals. No. I think they play the Cardinals on Thursday night, and they play the Seahawks this week.
I'm going to have someone on staff here check on that, Pat, and we'll find out. I know they play the Giants in a couple weeks.
Yeah, but I'm really hoping that, you know, they're now that the Packers won, that's the rivalry in that division. And, of course, they have another game with the Packers.
Right.
And but if I recall, the Packers play the Arizona Cardinals on the 27th of December. And
the Vikings play the dreaded Seattle Seahawks this weekend.
This weekend.
In Minnesota, though.
In Minnesota.
So they're favored there. They should win that game. Seattle's not what they used to be, not by a long shot.
But one of the things that, aren't they playing outside now? In other words, they're in a temporary stadium. They're playing at the University of Minnesota.
Yes, yes.
But so I thought that was an outdoor stadium.
Yes, it is.
Which is always interesting because of the weather. I don't know if you watched any of the Packer game on Thanksgiving, but, I mean, it was a
oh, my
downpour.
Gosh, it was a downpour, yeah.
And, you know, in fact, there looked like there was sleet at part of that game at the end of the game.
And those are fun, too. I love the weather games in the NFL. I love them.
Well, I don't mind the snow games. I don't like the blinding rain you can't even see. Honestly, there have been times where, you know, even in the snow, I've been at games where you really can't even see the field. The snow is coming down.
It was a crazy game, too. That's another game the Packers were, I mean, that could have been could have easily been a victory, right? That was the last play of the game, or one of the last plays of the game that Bears stopped them.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah, well, that was, yes.
Okay, Pat, you seem to have
well, and you know what?
Dismissed that one.
that was tough. But, you know, it's Minnesota that you know, we really want to win. And I think that if the Packers and if Minnesota and Green Bay have the same, at the end, if Green Bay can win this next game that they play against Minnesota, then they'd be, you know, ahead.
Right.
If they come up with the same record.
They play the Bears again or no, the Packers? Are they done?
No, they played the Bears twice.
Okay.
Didn't they? Yes.
Because I think, help me out, division record's the first tiebreaker, right?
Right.
Okay, so yeah.
So, you know, but it's going to be a real tough game when they play in Minnesota. It always is. So what else is happening in sports? I think we've talked enough about the Packer game, but honestly,
congratulations again, Pat. That one, I mean, I brought up Doug Flutie. I'm going to throw a year out there. I'm not even sure. 1982, somewhere in that realm.
Right.
And 33 years later, I remember it like it happened yesterday.
Oh, absolutely.
This is what's going to be the Rodgers to Rodgers plays. 30 years from now, fans are going to be, oh, remember that game against the Lions when they threw the Hail Mary after time was out? And ironically, like I said, that's the second game. I'd never seen this before. I mean, it's probably happened before. I just never noticed. That's the second game in the last 3 weeks that ended in, I think they call it untimed.
Is that what they call
it? I think they have some crazy term for it because the game is over. I think it was the Jaguars, and maybe somebody can call in with a little more detail. I know it was the Ravens. It was a roughing the passer penalty on the last play of the game. The Jaguars got a turnover, a roughing the passing penalty, and a 54-yard field goal to beat the Ravens by 1 point. So that, I don't know what you call that. A miracle? I don't know. But that's another crazy finish. But there have been a lot like that. The Giants lost the game that way. They had the ball in their deep in their own territory. They punted. The guy got about a 20-yard return, a 15-yard personal foul on top of it. And with 1 second left, a field goal was kicked, and the Giants lost the game. That was that crazy game against New Orleans.
Right.
The 52-49 game.
Right.
New Orleans had no business winning that game in regulation. Now, the Giants had no business winning it. They gave up 605 yards to the sad sack. New Orleans is not even a good team. And they got 605 yards.
Wow.
And people were upset that the Giants didn't beat the Redskins. They gave up 605 yards to a mediocre
team.
New Orleans team. Is this really a team we're disappointed in? No, of course not. They're not that good.
and the other thing I was pleased to see in this game with the Packers is Julius Peppers stripped the ball from Bradshaw. So that was, I mean, that was really...
How about that? The old guy still got it.
Yeah, he was sitting, every once in a while they'd pan over to the sidelines and he'd be sitting there smiling. And, you know, I mean, that finally turned... I think that was what finally turned it around and they had an opportunity to come back.
Pat, that's why you get those guys that are veteran players. They're not the every down players that are going to be consistently hold your team in the game, but they make the big plays that make the difference in the game. He doesn't play every down, right?
No.
He's a situational type of player, but he makes the play that turn the tide of the game. That's why you need those type of veteran players.
But remember, the Packers rarely do that. I mean, they do not take free agents in the way that other teams do. So that was particularly interesting. And, of course, he always has a great game against Chicago because, of course, Chicago felt he was over the hill.
Mm.
And just like the Packers did with Brett Favre, and then Brett came back and, you know, rubbed their nose in it when he was playing with the Vikings.
Is he really retired, Brett Favre?
Yeah, he's really retired.
Maybe thinking of another comeback?
They came back and retired his number now, and he was really welcomed.
That was on Thanksgiving night, right?
It was Thanksgiving.
I saw that. Yeah, that was pretty, too bad it was a downpour.
Yeah, it was.
But it was still pretty
cool. We came back in
July.
Bart
Starr and everything, that was nice.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, that was nice.
Because Bart Starr has been ill for some time. So, no, that was really great. And, you know, the Packer fans welcomed him back. I think they needed that 5 or 6 years, though, to do it. Because, I mean.
Get the bitter taste out of their mouth a little bit.
You cannot imagine. I don't think anybody, I can't think of another player who would go to a team the animosity was just unbelievable, that he would go to one of the other division teams. I mean, remember, the Packers traded him to the Jets just because they wanted to get him away as far away as possible.
Right.
And out of the division. So you knew that when he signed with the Vikings that he was really out for revenge. And he was. I mean, there was no question about it. But, you know, everybody's been kissy-kissy lately. And, I mean, I love to watch Brett Favre. I mean, I will say that, you know, objectively, I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback because he's not such a gunslinger. On the other hand,
right,
there is nobody who is more fun to watch than Brett Favre. And in fact, last night, if you saw Aaron Rodgers running down the field, you would have thought it was Brett Favre. I mean, it was just like, here's his twin. He was so excited.
Pat, he's an iconic player. I mean, as a non-Packers fan, you know, I see a couple things. I see a Hall of Fame quarterback, a leader who led the Packers to, you know, a couple Super Bowls. And then on the other side of the coin, I see he almost became the butt end of a joke because he kept retiring and coming back and retiring and coming back and retiring and coming back. He was like Jason in those horror movies, the guy with the goalie right. mask. I mean, I expect him to come back next year. But all that being said, see, I never had the love or the animosity
right.
either way. I just see a great Hall of Fame quarterback who hung on as sort of bitter end.
Well, if you ever, I watched, of course, that first retirement. And I have to tell you, I said at the time to Dave, my husband, I said, you know what? This is too quick. He does not want to retire. If he had, you know, another month or two when he's starting to really feel better, blah, blah, blah. I could tell he did not really want to be there saying those words. And, of course, he didn't.
Well, how old was he when they traded him or let him go?
Maybe 38.
Yeah,
as I
right.
recall, he
right.
was 40 when he celebrated his 40th birthday with the Vikings, as I recall. So he had played 16 years,
wow.
You know, maybe 37, 38.
He had 1 or 2 years with the Jets.
One.
The Dark Ages.
One.
For the Jets.
One.
The poor Jets.
Oh, he did that just because that way, you know, he was still, as I recall, he was still under contract to Green Bay.
Right.
So he just couldn't. He wasn't a free agent. So he just couldn't up and go wherever. And when, you know, the one thing I didn't like about Brett is I don't think that he really ever mentored Rodgers the way he should have. I mean, I think that, you know, Rodgers learned a lot from him, but he wasn't the big mentor. And, I think that if he had, even with the cap, I think that if he had been willing to come back and let Rodgers be the starter, he would have come back to the Packers. And I think he just had too much of an ego to do that.
You make a good point. Like I said, you're a lot closer to it than I am, but I never really thought about it. So you're probably right, though, Pat. He didn't want to be the second fiddle.
Yeah. And but why he came to the Jets and... My understanding, maybe I'm wrong, but my understanding is he bought a house here in New Jersey when he came here. Of course, I guess with that kind of money, who cares?
Right. But he probably kept his other house and had another one in Jersey.
Oh, well, he's got a huge mansion down in Mississippi. Well, let's play a couple spots from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with more sports guys, and we promise no more Packers.
Okay. This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Ho, ho, ho. It's that time of year to come out and enjoy the Hunterdon Holiday Parade, sponsored by my good friends at Hunterdon Radiological Associates. This year, all my friends and I will be parading down Main Street in Flemington starting at 5 p.m. on Sunday, December 6th, snow or shine. Ho, ho, ho! Thank you to ShopRite of Flemington, the Flemington Bid, the Borough of Flemington, Liberty Village Premium Outlets, Fusco's Rental World, and Witham Smith and Brown for their hospitality to me and my elves. If you miss it, I may need to recheck my list. I'll see you there. Happy holidays.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, the sports guys are back, and as I promised, no more Packers. So we're going to turn it over to Ken to talk about hockey and, you know, baseball, and, you know, we'll also want to talk to you about, at some point, we're going to have a bus trip to see a hockey game, and we're going to invite everyone to join us, and we'll have more information on that in the next few weeks.
Exciting stuff, Pat. Just one quick mention. I know we're kind of in the shadows of the baseball season here. The hot stove, so-called hot stove season, is upon us, where we start talking about trades and free agency and all that kind of stuff. But just one quick shout-out. Sandy Alderson, general manager of the Mets, was diagnosed with cancer. So our hearts and thoughts go out to he and his family. Wow. He's looking at 8 to 12 weeks of chemotherapy. I don't always agree with the moves he makes as he runs the Mets, but that's irrelevant. We wish him the best, as you know, to he and his family for his recovery. So that's my baseball comment for the day.
Wow.
I didn't hear the details on what he has in that's irrelevant too. Whatever it is, it's 8 to 12 weeks of chemo, which is no fun for anybody. So hopefully he'll get through that and be back and running the Mets by the time spring training rolls around. And we're about 65 days away from pitchers and catchers. So baseball is right around the corner in my book.
And for many of us, we hope it is only because that means it's the beginning of spring.
Right. Exactly.
And in fact, we were talking a little bit about vacations. I know a number of people who schedule vacations in Florida during spring training. I mean, there are some great facilities down there. And I have friends who go from, one team to another. You know, many of them are on the west coast of Florida. And they really have a good time.
Yeah, I guess what they've done, probably with good reason, major league teams are kind of grouped. There's a group of them on the west side. There's another group on the east side. And, of course, the others are all grouped in Arizona. So you can go to one location, and you don't have to drive 3 or 4 hours to a game. You drive a half hour to one game. You drive a half hour to another game and a half hour back to where you started from. You could see, three or four games in a day if you really were motivated to do so. I've never done that trip. Maybe this year or next year I should do that, Pat.
Oh, I think you'd really enjoy it. I mean, anybody who likes baseball, in fact, there also used to be some, and they're probably very expensive, but they would have, what did they call it, where they had camps for, old guys like you who used to play baseball.
Easy. Fantasy camp?
And it was basically that. In other words, they'd go down and they'd be playing, at whatever team it was, whatever, they would be there and there'd be a camp and they'd be playing and, seeing games and, coming home to lick their wounds and realize why they never made the majors.
Boy, Pat, at this point, it would definitely have to be some sort of slow pitch atmosphere for me. I'm way beyond fast pitch baseball, way beyond.
But, and it's a good time of year because the weather's generally nice. I mean, I'm not a big Florida person, but the weather's generally nice. And I know we have been in Arizona, and my brother and my husband, Dave, they did go to a couple games out in Arizona, and they really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. My sister lives in Florida on the West Coast. Maybe I'll give her a call, and we can hook something up and go catch a couple of games in the Naples, Fort Myers area.
And that's exactly
over
where they are.
Yeah.
The Naples, nice areas.
Oh, yeah.
And
beautiful.
From what I understand, I think John has been there. I know John has been down there. But the stadiums now are nice stadiums.
Right.
Of course, look at Trenton. Look at the stadium over in Somerville. These are nice venues. And as we had talked off the air, when you go to some of the minor leagues or when you go to the spring training, they're reasonably priced. I mean, you can afford to do that even with a family.
Exactly. And what's nice to see, of course, in spring training, you'd see a mix of major leaguers and future major leaguers and hopefuls.
Right.
And I always like to go see the minor league games, whether it be baseball or hockey, because you get some sort of a connection with the player. Hey, I saw him when he... before anybody knew he was.
Exactly.
Who he was. I saw, playing for the Lehigh Valley team, I saw Aroldis Chapman, pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. He threw the first pitch recorded at 103 miles an hour at a game I saw in Allentown about 7 or 8 years ago. So it's pretty neat. And I think, especially in a spring training atmosphere, the players have to be more relaxed. There's really nothing at stake in the games. So you would hope that they'd be somewhat more approachable than they would in New York or any other type of regular season atmosphere. Hopefully you'd be able to get the players, get some autographs, maybe even get some FaceTime with them.
Well, and what I would hope, and I don't know that this is the case, but I would hope that it's a lot more like it was years ago when the professionals, because unfortunately what's happened, I know in Green Bay, the kids used to go down and they used to be able to get autographs of all of these guys. And they stopped doing it because they found that the kids were selling them or their parents were selling them to, for the money. So that they stopped a lot of that. Although we have talked about my favorite thing about the training time is when the kids bring their bicycles in Green Bay. I mean, those are things that kids remember. The other, of course, the big difference, I think, now is when we were growing up, we would think of the people on the teams, and they'd be there for their entire career. And I can't imagine what it's like for kids who get so interested in one or two players, and then they move around to different teams.
Mm.
I mean, is your loyalty with the team, or is your loyalty, you know, with the player?
Well, it turns out most people root for the uniform, right? Their loyalty is with the team.
Well, I would think so.
90% of the time. Definitely at the college level. And I think at the professional
level,
too.
But, I mean, I think it must be very difficult for some, for example, I know many, many Packer fans who were growing up, and their first Brett Favre was, that's why they became interested in the Packers. In fact, I always ask people.
Wait a minute. I thought we were going to talk about
We're not talking. We're just talking,
You're just using them as an example.
Well, honestly, what it's very interesting. Talk to people around here who are not Jets, Giants, or Philadelphia fans and find out. It's very interesting to see how somebody became a fan of a certain team. And I probably ask that more often, you know, because I, you know, whenever somebody is a team that is not one of our local teams, I always think it's very interesting to find out, you know, why.
That's a good point. I think the majority of non-Giants, Jets, Eagles fans that I know is Cowboys, number one, Packers, two, Steelers, three.
And so when you look and when you ask people why they became Steeler fans, it's very interesting to, you know, hear. And most of the time it's that they were really on the top at the time. And
front runners, we call them, right?
Yeah, front runners, we call them. And of course, at one point, now how they were the America's team, I don't know. Well, listen, keep talking, and I'll see if I can answer this phone.
I think the America's team came from, at one point, the Cowboys had a team film at the end of the year called America's Team.
Let's see if I can get you on the air.
And that team, that film became so popular that the lexicon caught on with everybody across the country. That was back in the Tom Landry days, of course, not in the Jimmy Jones era or anything past that. But, yeah, I can remember, Pat, are we on?
I don't know. Are you guys on?
We're here. We're ready. We're ready to rock and roll. We're on our way to...
Yeah, we'll talk louder.
We're going to do a little louder. We're on our way to the Prudential Center. We're going to see the Flyers hopefully win another game against New Jersey. Flyers are trying to go for four in a row, and New Jersey, I think, lost to South Carolina last night.
Well, they won. The Devils won 5-1 last night.
They did. I didn't see the game, so
both
I guess...
So we're hearing, I don't know if our audience can hear you, but we're hearing you say that it should be a classic game tonight. We've tried to turn it up, but see if you can talk a bit louder.
Go ahead. We're very happy to talk loud. After all, we are lawyers. John?
Absolutely, counselor.
Okay. Well, Your Honor, I will tell you that the guy to watch, number 53 for Philly, Dane Gotisbehere, a great young defenseman. He's going to be leading the power play, and I think the Devils get a lot of him. Watch for him to be pitching the puck to Giroux or to Wayne Simmons, because he's been red hot.
It's funny you should say that, Bill. Gotisbehere is the guy that I saw play in Lehigh Valley. It was his last game for Lehigh Valley before he got called up to the Flyers, and he was their star of the game that time, and then lo and behold, a couple days later, he gets called up, and he's having a lot of success with the Flyers.
He certainly is. Ken, I noticed the Rangers have gotten a little cold. What's going on with
the Rangers? Have lost 5 out of 6, Ken.
You know what? When you
here's
the good news, John and Bill. When you start 16-3, you can afford to lose 4 out of 6 games. So they weren't going to keep up a 16-3 pace all year. So you know, I'm not too concerned at this point. I think the Rangers will still be in position to make the playoffs and maybe make some waves in the playoffs once they get here. Of course, we're still talking 4 months down the road, so I'm not losing any sleep about being 17-7.
Nope, we've got a long, cold winter to go and lots of hockey.
Hey, guys.
On the football side, I'm sure you've had a few words on the show.
Like the whole show.
Oh, did, yeah, did the Packers, whole show. Did they play last night? I watched the Rangers lose to the Colorado Avalanche. Yeah. I might have been watching the wrong game.
Yeah, that's all we talked about. And, of course, I can barely stay awake because, you know, who could sleep after that ending?
Well, an amazing game was, I saw the highlights this morning. I saw a lion cramp somebody's face mask, and then the Packers got a free play. Game can't end on a defensive penalty. Those sissies from Green Bay didn't like their face mask being grabbed.
Well, I can tell you, Dave was about to go catatonic before that last play. We couldn't believe that we were going to lose another game.
We were trying to think of other Hail Mary passes besides that one and, of course, Doug Flutie. Can you guys think of any that were of that length, especially on I mean, essentially the game was over. There was no time on the clock when this happened. Can you ever think of it, similar circumstances?
But you know, I don't discuss it, but the officiating is atrocious in the NFL. It's absolutely atrocious.
Well, remember, these guys are part-timers, unlike baseball umpires.
Whether they're part-timers or not, they're making at least four or five major mistakes every game that are now influencing the outcome of the game. Witness Odell Beckham Jr.'s touchdown or end zone catch against the Patriots gets knocked out after and they say it's no catch.
You just can't get over that, can you, John?
No, that'll be, if they come back and win anything this year, that'll be in the highlight reel. That'll motivate. But that was a horrible call.
But I will say, because I was watching the game last night, and, you know, he really did grab his helmet and the face mask. If you looked at Rodgers, I mean, his helmet was all askew. It really was. So I thought that was a good call. Actually, I agree with you. And for some reason, I just think the calls this year have been worse than other years. I mean, I remember back when they had the substitute refs. I mean, that was a disaster. But I don't know if anyone else thinks that the calls this year seem to have been much worse than prior years.
Pat, I think what's happened, and I'd love to hear other opinions, the game is so complicated now. Roger Goodell came out and said the other day, I don't know what a catch is anymore. We have to review it again. If the commissioner, who makes $44 million a year, doesn't know what a catch is, how are the referees supposed to know? I think they're doing the best they can, but there are so many subtleties to it now, they really don't know what to do.
I think you're right, Dan. If they made it into somewhat of a video game with every important call being reviewed. So the guys in the field probably figure, well, we'll give it a shot. We'll make a call. They're going to correct it if we're wrong anyway.
Right.
I love the State Farm ad. That State Farm ad is great.
Which one's that, Pat?
The State Farm where your
microphone is on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's a great ad. You're right.
But, I mean, it seems like they can't do anything without being called for interference. That seems to be the one that is most overcalled, I think.
I think the other thing, Pat, is, and John and Bill, the level of videos and the different camera angles reveal things that we never saw before. Turns out almost every catch is not 100%. There's juggling. You don't know if the foot is down. You don't know if he's out of bounds. Before, you got one look at it. It was black and white, yes or no. Now, you get 10 different angles. Five of them say one thing. Five of them say another thing. Which is it? Don't know. And I don't think the referees know either.
Well, the bobbling the ball, I think, is garbage. I mean, come on. If he keeps it in his hands,
I think the bobbling matters is if you're going out of bounds, and there's a question if you really had possession when you went out of bounds.
Yeah, but if he still has it in his hands, that to me seems to be so subjective. Whether you're bobbling it or you have it, I mean, as long as it's not, and they don't call that always just when they drop it. I mean, you might be able to understand if they were just calling that when the guy drops it, but he's got it. So, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but if he steps out of bounds, he's bobbling as he goes out of bounds. It's not a catch.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they're, you know, I just think that if he's got it, whether he's bobbling it or not, it should be a catch.
Yeah, I mean, you go back 10 years ago, before we had super slow motion, stop action from 10 angles, that Odell Beckham Jr. catch was a touchdown. There wasn't even a question about it. I mean, you look at the play, everybody in America knew it was a touchdown, but you review it, and there's 10 different things you can criticize. One of them, he didn't, you know, one out of those 10 wasn't 100%, no touchdown. It's getting kind of crazy. Yeah, I think video games has a lot to do with it. A lot of things. I mean, the NFL now has to compete with EA Sports and these Madden games, because if the games aren't exciting and there's not a lot of scoring and touchdowns, well, I'll go play Madden. I'll control my own game and the score will be 58-45. Why should I watch the NFL if it's going to be 10-6? The NFL does whatever they can to boost the offense, including making it impossible to tackle anymore. You can't tackle the quarterback anymore. You can't hit the way you used to. Right. The games are... Over the last 5 or 10 years, the games have completely changed.
And, you know, we all believe that you shouldn't, hit the quarterback. I mean, look, I don't like some of what used to go on. I mean, some of what used to go on under those piles of guys. But there has to be, it is football, and you have to be able to tackle. And, I think, John, I agree with you. I think that some of the officiating now is just... You know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
So switching gears, how Chip Kelly watch coming?
Well, I think Chip Kelly's going to be there for a while. Lurie does not fire people.
I'm all for that. I think Jeff Lurie's patience is a virtue. She keep Cal Chip for years to come.
As a Giants fan, I couldn't agree more. Yes, more Cal Chip Kelly. Maybe he'll coach the Cowboys after he leaves the Eagles. I think you hit it right on the head, John. Well said.
He knew he had to have known he was risking that unless he could come up with something that was a lot better. You know, I mean, he can't be that dumb to not realize that, you know, Philadelphia fans are not very patient.
No, absolutely not. We're not forgiving at all.
I can't remember a situation where a coach came in, dismantled the team to build in his image, and then failed to the extent that he has. I mean, he's ruined the team.
I agree with you, Ken.
He's ruined the team not just this year, but your prospects for the next couple of years aren't good now.
I mean, some people are measuring him for the Rich Coat Tight Award.
Oh, it's Coat Tight, yeah.
You know, and really, when somebody's new like that, it seems to me that they can come in, and there is a team, whether it was a good team or a bad team. And I always go back to Lombardi. I mean, there were a lot of really good guys on the Packers, and yet they were totally losing. You know, I mean, what did they have, a 3-11 record or something the prior year? But, you know, he came in and he started working with the people that were there. And
well, they drafted well. Green Bay has more high draft picks on their roster than any other team.
Well, guys, I think we're going to have to say good night. Have a great and enjoyable evening at the game, and we'll see everybody next week.
Thank you.
right. We'll have a big announcement next week about our first Sports Guys road trip, folks. And get up off that couch. Have a great evening.
And have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Good luck, Fellowsburg Stateliners, as they play for the state championship tomorrow.
Oh, really?